Now, if you turn again, please, in the scriptures to the book of Jeremiah, read from chapter 28, and I want to read also now part of chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Page 694 in our Pew Bible, Jeremiah chapter 29, and reading from the beginning. We read the first 14 verses here in this chapter. This is God's word. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. And so here is the letter of Jeremiah to the captives. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. So reads God's own true word. I want to speak today on some of the words here in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is something that I have preached on before. The last time I preached on it, I knew the theory, but I didn't know the practice. This time, I think I can speak from a different perspective. This letter from the prophet Jeremiah is sent to those who have been taken away captive from their own land off into exile in Babylon. It's probably around the year 597 BC. This is a letter addressed to the second group of captives that have gone off into exile. An earlier group had been exiled around the year 605 BC. The first group of captives would have included the character that we know as Daniel. Daniel was among the first wave of people to be taken captive to Babylon. Then there was a second group that was taken off captive, and that group included the prophet Ezekiel. Jeremiah himself, he wasn't taken captive to Babylon. He was still there in Jerusalem. And he writes his letter to the exiles in Jerusalem, and he writes because he is concerned about false prophets, about false teachers, about dreamers who were telling them things that they wanted to hear, but things that were not given by God. They were saying, the false teachers were saying, this will soon be all over. We'll all soon be going back home to Jerusalem. And we have that in chapter 28. We have one of the names of the false teachers. His name was Hananiah. He was regarded as a prophet. And he was telling the people that God was going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon, that within 2 years, the Lord was going to bring back to Jerusalem all the captives and all the riches that had been removed from the temple. Jeremiah knew that that was not true. And Jeremiah was concerned that people were going to have their hopes raised in a way that was deceiving them and causing them to think things and marking on their calendar something that wasn't going to happen. And so he writes to them to tell them what the real situation is, what they should expect, how things were going to be in their experience. And the first thing that Jeremiah seeks to impress upon these people who have been exiled, he wants them to recognize God has done this. God has done this. Verse 4 of chapter 29, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Jeremiah says, look, God says, do you know why you're in Babylon? It's because I have sent you there. I have caused you to be taken away captive. You have the same thing in verse 7. He says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away. And those people who have been taken away from Jerusalem into exile in Babylon, they needed to understand, they needed to realize, they needed to accept that the sad state in which they now found themselves was God's doing. God has done this, Jeremiah is saying. Yes, it was the Babylonians that had come and invaded. It was the Babylonians that had taken them away captive, but it was God who was behind it all. God did this to his own people, and he did it to his own people for their good. They had been exiled for a reason. The reason was that they were refusing to listen to God. They were refusing to obey God, and so he had taken them off into exile. They were guilty of turning to other gods instead of the living and true God, and God himself was behind the exile into Babylon. And for all of us in our very different situations in life, we need to recognize that in our lives, God has done this. Things don't just happen to us by accident. It's not that other people are able to inflict their will upon us and bring us into certain situations. God is always the one behind our life circumstances. That's the way it was with the character Job that we encounter in the Old Testament. It was God who was behind it all. And the devil wanted to harm Job in the things that he inflicted upon him, but God intended to draw good out of Job and bring good into his life, and God brought the afflictions upon him. God was there. And Jeremiah wants the people to understand that it's God who has done this. And it was only when they looked upon it in that light, it was only that whenever they would see themselves far away from their land, in that strange place, deprived of their freedoms, it was only when they looked upon it as God has done this to us. It's only then that they would look and think, and why has God done this to us? Whatever our life circumstances, whatever way things are for us at this present time, it is His doing. God has done this. And God always does things for a reason. I can't tell you what reason God has for what He's doing in your life at present. There was a reason why the people were taken captive, and they needed to learn from that experience. But in all things in life, we always have to come to that recognition and realization, God has done this. This is the hand of God. I would never be in this situation unless God had so willed it. And that's the starting point. When you recognize that, when you accept that, you take that as being the way it is, then there's hope of moving in a good direction or dealing well with the situation. But until you recognize God has done this, you'll be stuck. So that's the first thing Jeremiah has to say to the captives. He says, you've got to recognize God has done this. It wasn't ultimately Nebuchadnezzar that took you captive. God has taken you captive. He has exiled you. The second thing that Jeremiah has to say to the people, or the second thing I want to mention, is that he tells them that they need to settle down and work. The attitude that they are to have to their captivity is described in verses 5 to 7. God says to them through Jeremiah, build houses and dwell in those houses. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And there to those people who hated the way things were in their lives, to people who did not want to be where they were, God brings His message. God says, here's what I want you to do. They're not to allow themselves to be unsettled by the thought that we're only here for a wee while, soon we'll be going home. And if they'd thought that, they wouldn't have done very much in Babylon. To think that we're not here for long, that is always a limiting thought. It's a restricting thought. It's a thought that hinders activity. You're not going to go out and sow if you think you're not going to be around to reap what you have sown. And so Jeremiah assures them that they are going to be there for many a year. He tells them in verse 10 that this is an exile that is going to last for 70 years. After 70 years are completed, God says, I will visit you. Not 2 years, but this is a 70-year exile. And God is telling his people that though this place was not what they would have regarded as being home, they were to treat it as their home. And he calls upon them to settle down and to give themselves with all they have to the well-being of the city of Babylon. They weren't to just be people who would sit around and lament how things had worked out in their lives. They weren't to be there saying, why did it have to be us that was taken captive whenever there's other people back in Jerusalem and they weren't taken, but we were taken. Why me? Why us? And they weren't just to grudgingly accept the circumstances that they had in life. God calls upon them to do more than that. They were to get on with living. They were to build houses, expecting that they would live in those houses and their children would live in those houses. They were to settle down. They were to have children. They were to give their children in marriage. And they were everything they were to seek the peace and the prosperity of the place where God had placed them. That's the way they needed to look upon things. That was the mindset that they needed to muster in order to live in a God-honoring way in their captivity. And in those words that Jeremiah writes in his letter to those people far away in Babylon, God is speaking to his people today and in every day of the existence of God's people. They were in circumstances that they would never have chosen to be in. They were having to deal with things that were far worse than anything that we've probably had to deal with in life. And yet God tells them, I want you to have a positive attitude to this whole captivity. I want you to be a busy, productive worker here in this city that's not your city, in this country that's not your country, among these people who worship gods that are not your God. God didn't allow his people to think it's okay for us to just sit around and do nothing. He didn't allow them to think we have lost so much and how I would love to have back the things around me that I used to have. How I'd love to be able to do what I used to be able to do. And because they couldn't have those things, they could have done nothing. God says, no, that's not the way. He says, you busy yourself. You give yourself to living your life here in this place, because this is the place I have appointed for you. And in the case of these exiles, they didn't have the hope of seeing better days, different days. For the adult population, the message that Jeremiah was sending to them was a message that by and large meant, and you're going to die in Babylon. You're never going to see Jerusalem again. You're not going to return from exile. There are no better days for you. But there was hope for their children. There was hope for their grandchildren. They were in some cases, young enough to be still alive when the time would come, when the 70 years were over. There was still 60 years or so of that time still to come. And so these captives, they had to be content to serve God in a land where they did not want to be. And they had to be content that it would be the coming generations that would reap the rewards. Sometimes God calls us in life to that which is a long haul rather than that which promises short-term rewards. And the absence of short-term rewards is something that is a test of what lies in our hearts. It was a hard, hard thing for those people to hear what Jeremiah had to tell them, but it was the truth. It was a hard thing to be told, you're never going home. You're never going to see Jerusalem again. You're never going to live in that place. You're never going to walk those streets. It's not going to happen for you. But that's the way it was going to be. That was the truth. And they needed to take on board that truth so that their lives could have meaning there in Babylon. They had a choice. You either serve God in a foreign land where you don't want to be, or you don't serve God at all. Jeremiah calls upon them to give themselves to serving the Lord where he has placed them. Sometimes in life, we just don't have the choices that we would want to have. Sometimes there are things that God allows us to set our hearts upon, but we don't get those things. There are disappointments in the way things happen in our lives. And those things are always a test for us. How do we respond when God takes things from us, or whenever we don't get the things that we thought we were going to get, when life doesn't go in the direction that we thought and expected it was going to go in? Well, in those situations, we have to give ourselves to finding the best within our actual circumstances. Never mind the options that we don't have. We have to find the best option that we do have. And that's what they had to do in Babylon. All the things they really wanted, well, they just weren't going to get those things. And so they had to find the best that was left. God says, settle down here and get on with things here. God says, this is where I have put you. I have determined that this is the way your life was going to be. If you'd lived in a different generation, it wouldn't have been like this. But this is your time, and this is the way it is for you. God says, I want you to live for me here, in these circumstances, in this place, at this time. And if they were going to do that, they would have to reject the voices of the false prophets. And Jeremiah warns about that, verses 8 and 9. Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Like these exiles in the days of Jeremiah, we have to live in the real world. We have to accept our God-appointed circumstances, but we have to do more than just accept them. We have to do the very best we can in those God-appointed life circumstances. There is to be no being stifled by regrets. There is to be no living in dream worlds. We have to settle down, we have to work for the Lord, and we have to do so for the sake of those who will come after us. We may not reap the rewards for what God calls us to do, but we are to live in hope that our children or our grandchildren will benefit from what we give ourselves to in life. So Jeremiah's letter is calling upon the people whose lives were difficult to settle down and to work for the Lord. And then another thing we have here in these verses is what Jeremiah says to the exiles about hope and a future. Jeremiah 29 is a chapter that is well known, probably for a couple of verses that are in it. It's the couple of verses that are in it that are well known rather than the chapter. But you can't really take a couple of verses out of a chapter and really have the truth, because those verses are absolutely tied to everything that is within that chapter. And probably the best known verse is verse 11. For I know the thoughts, or I know the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts are plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 13 would also be known. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And those verses are encouraging words. They're meant to be encouraging words, but they're not meant to be wrenched out of their context, because they're more meaningful in their context than if you take them out of their context and just use them standing on their own. Now, those great words are not words given in isolation, but they're surrounded by other words which give them their true meaning and their true picture. And in verses 10 to 14, we have words from God that were reassuring, hopeful, and comforting, but at the same time, those words are delivered to people who were not going home. These words are delivered to people who are going to remain as exiles. They could pray all their days that they would experience an end to exile and they would go home, but it wasn't going to happen, because the exile was going to last for 70 years. And Jeremiah says it clearly in verse 10, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, that's when I will visit you. That's when I'll perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. There were around 60 of those 70 years still left to go. And therefore, those words that follow, the words about a hope and a future, those words are directed to people who weren't going to go home. That wasn't the hope they wanted. That wasn't the future they wanted. That's not what their hearts were crying out to God for. They wanted a hope. They wanted a future. But they wanted it in Jerusalem, not in Babylon. But it wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. But there was a hope. There was a future. But it was God's appointed hope and God's appointed future. It was God's purpose that would work out in their lives. And in the way that God worked for them, there would be hope. And there would be blessing. And the good news for the exiles that comes from Jeremiah, who's back in Jerusalem, is that God isn't yet finished with his people. God does have plans for the future, but he also has a time scale, and the time scale didn't suit the exiles, the adult exiles in Babylon. God has a plan to prosper them. He has a plan not to harm them, to give them hope and a future. He talks about how the day will come when they will call upon him, they will pray to him, they will seek him and find him when they seek him with all their heart. And God will bring them back from captivity. And God will gather them from all the places that he has banished them to. And he'll bring them back. And that's what God would do. But not for them. Some of their children would still be alive. Their grandchildren would be alive for that time. But not for them. Not in 2 years' time. Not in 10 years' time. There was still about 60 years before this great event would happen. But God had it written in his book. It's going to happen. That day would come. God's people would return from their exile. But many people wouldn't live to see that day. And from these things, we can see that in terms of the future, God has appointed the times when his blessing will come upon his people. It's God who determines what generation of his people will experience the blessing and what generations experience the times of leanness, the times of decline, the difficult times. But the plans of God are always there. And God's plans are always to bless his people and to prosper his people. God always has our good in mind. And those people in captivity in Babylon, they were not to think God has forgotten us. He hadn't forgotten them. God had good plans in place. God was going to bless those people. He was going to give them a hope and a future, but it was God's hope and future. Not the one they would have wanted, but the one that God had appointed. And it was better. It was better for God's people in those days to be in Babylon seeking the Lord with all their heart, than it was for them to be back in Jerusalem ignoring the Lord their God. In life, there are our plans. There are our hopes. There are the things that we want to have, that we want to do. But it's God's plans that are the ones that are always fulfilled. And God knows what is best for us. God knows how to bring us to be those who seek him with all our heart. And God knows when is the time to prosper us and when is the time to leave us without that prosperity that we might have our hearts set upon. Jeremiah declares that God had thoughts towards his people. God had plans for his people. Thoughts and plans of peace, not of evil. Thoughts and plans to give them a future and a hope. If you're someone who is looking to Christ, you have a future and you have a hope. And God has written it. And God's future and God's hope may not be what you and your thinking think that would be a nice life to have. But what God has appointed is truly for your good. And these exiles needed to receive the word of God through Jeremiah. They needed to believe that. They needed to do what he was calling upon them to do. And in recognizing that it was God who had brought this all about, and in settling down and giving themselves to life there in Babylon, and in looking to the good things that God would provide in that situation, that's how their life would have meaning and be profitable, and that's how they would be a blessing to the next generation and the generation to follow. We may not see any great things in our days, but God calls us to be faithful in what he has given us to do and where he has called us to serve. And we can believe that God's cause will prosper. God will be faithful. He will build his church. And it's our place to do what we have been given to do. Maybe others will know better days. Amen. Now we're going to sing to God's praise. Psalm 126, the tune is St. Lawrence, number 148. Psalm 126, let's sing the words of this psalm. The day did come when God brought the exiles back. And this psalm reflects on that. How wonderful that was. This was the day that these people in Jeremiah 29 didn't live to see. But it came, because God said it would come. The Lord brought Zion's exiles back, as men who dreamed were we. Then laughter filled our mouth, our tongue did shout in victory. They then among the nations said, the Lord great things has done for them. The Lord great things has done for us. Our joy has come. And God's people must have done what he told them to. And the time came when they sought him with all their heart. He heard their prayers, and that generation was the ones who would return from the exile, rejoicing, delighting in the goodness of God. Psalm 126, we sing the whole of that psalm. The tune is 148. Let's stand to sing his praise and remain standing then for the benediction.